Hi, everybody. Welcome to No Story is Sacred. If you've never listened before, basically we're four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. I'm Kat, and I have a bachelor's in air guitar.
And I'm Brendan MacDonald, Esquire.
I'm Pippin, and strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
Ooh. I'm Alex, and be excellent to each other.
Words I live by.
Party on, dude.
Party on, Pip. Wait, that's
Wayne's World.
Damn it! I always do this. So if the listening audience can ignore my gaffe from before where I said this was Wayne's World, today we're talking about the 1989 movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. So spoilers abound. If you want specific content warnings about things we may talk about, check out the show notes on nostoryissacred.com. The summary, according to Google, is Bill and Ted are high school buddies starting a band. However, they are about to fail their history class, which means Ted would be sent to military school. They receive help from Rufus, a traveler from the future, where their band is the foundation for a perfect society. With the use of Rufus's time machine, Bill and Ted travel to various points in history, returning with important figures to help them complete their final history presentation.
Nice.
Excellent.
Although it should be pointed out that the reason it's a problem that Ted goes to military school is that that will prevent them being able to form their band, which in turn will prevent them from creating this perfect utopian society.
Yeah.
That's just totally bogus, man.
Totally bogus.
Bogus.
But that's the second. That's the sequel. Wait a second.
Another time.
Oh, so, time jokes. Sorry.
There's going to be plenty of time jokes. Plenty of time for time jokes in this episode. and first and foremost, the time machine, it's a TARDIS, right?
No, a TARDIS needs to be bigger on the inside.
And it's notably
it's a
not
lame
bigger.
TARDIS.
But it is a phone booth.
It's an American phone booth, and that's why it's not a TARDIS.
American Doctor Who.
Oh, my God.
I imagine it's a deliberate reference to Doctor Who.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the fact that they can only, that they were able to manage to, like, fit, like, what, like, eight people into that one booth?
Now, there is, I believe, a weird late-night game, Jimmy Fallon or whatever has a how many people can you fit in the phone booth game?
Yep, mm-hmm. He does.
They have fit many people into a phone booth.
As long as they're all friends.
But one of them was in full plate armor.
Well, but you know, by the time they had like eight people in there, as you may or may not recall, they were no longer all within the time machine. They were sort of riding it like a canoe.
They were very inconsistent about that, I noticed. Sometimes they were all in there, sometimes they had people sticking out.
Yes, let's talk about the consistency of time travel and science in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
No. I was not questioning the consistency of the time travel. I was questioning the consistency of the space within time travel device.
Well, I'll question the consistency of time travel.
Oh.
We have a classic example of the first loop paradox going on here, don't we?
Talk more on this subject, Brendan.
Well, one thing that happens in Bill and Ted is that at one point early on in the story, you see them meet their future selves and they try to give themselves information. And then also toward the end of the film, there's the fact that like the plot device of the plot device of Ted's dad's keys have been lost this entire time, but they stole it this entire time. There is like this missing first loop where maybe they didn't succeed but had the time travel back or something like that. I didn't take copious notes on this particular example in Bill and Ted, but basically whenever a temporal loop happens, there has to be some time when the first one happened, and it's not really clear when the first loop happened. Now, the case in point is that when they're at the Circle K with strange things afoot, they meet themselves from the future. Where did those guys come from?
The future.
I mean, come on, Brendan.
Whenever I see the paradox, I always just think, well, yeah, the one from the future helped that out.
Whenever I see that loop, I just assume that we're a couple of loops in and don't think about it too hard.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing where you don't really focus too much on this kind of thing. Mystery Science Theater rules apply. Repeat to yourself, it's just a show.
You should just relax.
Yeah.
I appreciate that they are not making this like a huge like life and death situation.
Oh, yeah.
They bring back people from the past, right? Yeah. Those people from the past have clearly been massively affected by their time in the future. As evidenced by the history presentation itself, we see that Joan of Arc has decided to incorporate aerobics in her future army training, that Abraham Lincoln now says party on, dudes, and that Napoleon plans to go to Waterloo because he enjoyed his time at the Waterloo...
Water park.
Water park in San Dimas, California, so much. I mean, so clearly they've been strongly affected by their time. However, in our actual history, none of this happened. So the question here, guys, is do you think that this is legitimately changing the history that Bill and Ted are experiencing, thereby allowing, again, for the creation of this weird utopia in the future? Or are they picking up historical figures from an alternate past?
My actually answer is actually going to be Rufus has a cleanup crew. Who, after Bill and Ted drop off the historical figures, do things like erasing memories.
I mean, there is a little bit of evidence of that, because at the end of the movie, you have the two princesses show up that Rufus clearly went to go pick up, so...
It's a good point. It's a good point.
With that my head immediately started writing the tragic fanfic where Socrates and Billy the Kid don't remember each other, but still remember that feeling.
Of being best friends.
Time bros.
And so they know that there's something missing, but they don't know what.
Oh my god, that's so sad. By the way, listening audience, if no other reason to watch this movie, it's to watch Billy the Kid and Socrates get on like a fucking house on fire. I'm sorry.
So I believe creeps. That's... Yeah. yes, yes. but I think we got a little bit cart before the horse here.
I'm sorry. Go on.
So they get the time machine, and in order to ace their history final, history oral presentation, they decide to essentially kidnap historical figures at random.
They were going to pick up only like one or two, weren't they? Originally?
Yes. But then they lost track of time. And picked up a lot more.
No, and the machine got broken.
Yeah. They had a little side trip for that.
And they lost Napoleon.
Oh, yeah. They lost Napoleon.
Damn it, Deacon.
They end up taking all the historical figures to the mall as an example of modern life. And weirdly, it's a really cool examination of what... I mean, this movie came out in the 80s, right? Late 80s?
Yeah.
I think that's what I read.
1989. The movie apparently came out in 89. It's set, I think, in 88.
Yeah, I mean, which is probably when they filmed it. So that's really cool, actually. We get like this little tiny snapshot of malls from the 80s when malls were pretty fucking huge.
It's ironic that nowadays the malls are dying out.
So Bill and Ted killed them all.
Yes. Yeah, and brought about the utopia. Good job.
Yep. We're so close.
I think I took Al to my dying mall.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
Anyway, commenting on American culture aside, I kind of liked that scene a lot. Just taking these historical figures into the mall and hijinks ensue.
The music was fantastic.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I haven't watched this movie since I was little, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one of the scenes that stuck in my head was Joan of Arc doing aerobics.
Ah, man.
Also, why did that, music store, the salesman, have Beethoven arrested? He is clearly bringing in customers.
So true. But, you know, if you're a weird dude who's not fucking leaving, I mean, Beethoven was there. Wearing, like, a weird, he was wearing, like, a jabot and knee breeches and velvet. So, I mean, I could
see. He's clearly a drunk.
Hey, do you guys remember the whole list of people that they brought with them?
Let's see, they've got Billy the Kid, Socrates,
Napoleon.
They tried to get, Napoleon was first.
Yep.
They tried to get people from England, but that was the princess subplot that kind of came and went.
They got Genghis Khan, Joan of Arc,
Sigmund Freud.
Abraham Lincoln.
Did they have any other women? Or was it just Joan of Arc and just the babes, the medieval babes?
The princesses.
I only know one of their names because Joanna. I had subtitles on. Oh, was one of them Joanna?
One's
the
Joanna.
Other one was Elizabeth. Ha-ha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go, man.
But that shouldn't have been so difficult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot of people to put into a phone booth, just saying.
It is, but to be fair, it did make for a totally excellent history project.
It did.
Yeah. And to the teacher, it was like, oh, hey, they went the extra mile and hired some actors.
But they the nice thing about the presentation at the end is it wasn't just the historical figures and or actors, depending on what you believe it is. We do see Bill and Ted presenting accurately about the lives and special interests of these various historical figures. Technically,
they learned.
Yeah.
They learned something. They succeeded in their assignment. Listening audience, the reason we're not really going into the step-by-steps of the plot here is because there really isn't one.
No.
It's not super complicated here.
They time travel to a point in history, hijinks ensue.
Yeah.
Rinse, repeat, have fun.
They kidnap a bunch of people.
There is an artificial deadline that they're working against. It's the, that's another weird time travel thing. There's a real point in time that they have to get back to.
Well, their personal timeline is always moving forward. Their home time.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the rule.
Here's the thing. So, when they got back to the Circle K the second time, I was like, why don't you guys just chill the night?
I think Rufus was just,
fucking with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he gave them all the time, then they would have done, just gone on and done.
What?
They would have just spent like the entire evening, eating snacks and playing air guitar, and the next morning, repeat it ad nauseum or ad infinitum.
Ad infinitum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good point. Giving the artificial deadline does, cause them to
light a fire under their butts.
Yep. I just thought of something really cool. Part of their issues as characters is that they are stuck in a sort of circular rut with no guided end point. So in the beginning, in like the first scene, when they're recording themselves on a video recorder about their band Wild Stallions, they go through this whole thing, like, how will we become a famous band? We won't become a famous band until we get Eddie Van Halen. Well, how will we get Eddie Van Halen? Maybe we should learn to play our instruments.
Like, how do we play instruments if we don't even have them?
And that's why we need to start a famous band so we can get Eddie Van Halen. That's a loop that we see again played out in the movie, but they're not given sort of a direction. I don't know. Can you call Rufus like a god in a box? Coming out of nowhere and saying, by the way, here's how you do this.
He's our wise mentor. He's awesome. And I miss George Carlin.
I miss George Carlin, too.
Yeah.
I hated how much I loved his outfit.
Can I confess something to you guys?
Mm-hmm.
So when they break all their shit, right? And they actually end up going to the future instead, and they see the future where they see themselves on holographic projections, and you see all the other people from the future recognize them and just start being like, holy shit, it's the people who started our society. And then, like, without knowing, Bill and Ted say the things that have, like, they say be excellent to each other and party on, dudes. I literally start crying every time. Because it's such a pure moment. Like, kudos to the actors for playing it off, and the music is just so amazing. I'm tearing up right now.
Oh, hey, do you want me to bring it back to a low point?
Yeah. Oh, no. I know which low point you're... Okay, do it. Do it. Bring it out.
No, you don't know, actually.
Oh, I don't?
No, because I realized that one of the jokes I didn't get the last time when I was young was, what number are we thinking of? and they went 69, dudes. I did not get that joke when I was young. And now I'm like, oh, my God.
You're not innocent anymore. Ha ha.
Ha ha, you've fallen from grace. What?
So, if any of the people who've known me since I was a child are listening, I still don't get that joke. I don't know.
So, one thing I really liked in this movie, kind of tying into what you're talking about there, Kat, I just truly enjoy, like, the time game, you know? Okay, we just got to remember to do this after our presentation, and lo and behold, there's the keys, there's the trash can, there's the recorded message.
And it shows how clever they actually are.
Yeah.
And they're clearly continuing to do that and just no longer having it spelled out for the audience. Because they clearly remember to set up the lights, set up the music.
That's true.
Set up all the props.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good point. Good point.
They spent time thinking about what the audio cues were going to be. I mean, to a certain extent, this actually speaks well to why they would, in fact, then be a famous band in the future. I mean, they've got the ability. It's there.
And they can bring people together.
They just don't know how to get started.
Yeah, they need the start.
Well, and their parents are busy either figuring that they're losers or ignoring them.
Or being way too hot and was a senior when he was a freshman.
Listen, Missy was trying the best she could to be the best stepmom.
I do not blame Missy in this situation.
Oh, no. Missy's great.
I will say those grilled cheese sandwiches looked terrible.
She was doing her best.
And she was setting... And she was very good at setting rules and boundaries for Bill.
And frankly, I think she was being taken advantage of by Bill's dad.
Well,
so, I mean, like, that was clearly a unbalanced relationship, and I don't blame her for leaving him for Ted's dad in the second movie. Spoilers.
Does she really?
She took. Yes. Oh my god, have you never seen the second movie?
Again, not since I was very little. I just remember being creeped out by the bunny.
Oh my god. Girl, you and me, okay? You and me, over the weekend, we're gonna do a simultaneous. Get Ashley on the phone too. We'll watch it simultaneously, and it'll be amazing.
Pip, Al, do you have any, like, favorite bits from the film? I mean, Kat and I both shared one.
What's your favorite?
Okay.
My favorite bit is the most believable of the kidnappings.
Which is
when they go get Joan of Arc.
Oh, yeah.
because...
refresh my memory and, by extension, the audience.
when they go get her, she is in her armor with her sword, and she's going to go pray. And they appear in the phone box before her. This big flash of light and noise. And Ted, looking an awful lot like Keanu Reeves.
How strange.
Who is a handsome guy now, was cute then. You know, just reaches out from where this light was, and she just takes his hand and goes with him. And I'm like, yeah, that scans.
Yeah.
It totally does. Speaking of, by the way, Keanu Reeves, adorable back then, but has not significantly changed. I'm just going to put it out
there. He got a haircut.
And facial hair.
Ooh. Oh, true. But there's going to be a third movie. I've seen a publicity shot, and he just looks grungy and amazing. It's like the 90s happened to Bill and Ted.
Oh. My other favorite thing was Billy the Kid and Socrates. Just everything they did.
Everything. Yep.
They started playing catch in the background, and I was charmed.
They were wingmen.
Hitting on women in the mall.
Getting shot down like they deserved.
Making fun of fucking Sigmund Freud.
Who also deserved it.
Yeah.
Never mind the fact that Socrates there likely never existed and it was just a construct by Plato.
Wow.
Hey. This is now canonical proof that Socrates exists.
Yep.
Yeah, are you dissing? Are you saying that Bill and Ted, the founder of our society, are wrong?
Guys, I actually do believe that we should be excellent to each other.
We should.
Like, that was that's a serious thing that, like, I really genuinely believe. And it's because I watched this fucking movie.
I remember a thing I got mad about.
Well, first, what about Alex's?
Yeah, Alex, you go.
Oh, shit. I'm actually going to have to say the, and everything goes crazy at the mall.
Yeah.
To the montage?
The montage of everyone running around getting arrested.
Fair enough.
Genghis Khan taking over the sports goods store. Billy and Socrates running across the the ice rink.
Oh, and all to Beethoven doing an astonishingly awesome electric keyboard variant remix on, was it the fifth?
Possibly. One of his symphonies, and it was awesome.
One might even say bitchin'.
One might even say excellent.
Oh, shout out to Lincoln spelling his last name for the intake officer at the police station. Because so many people get that wrong.
I liked how he said he was a lawyer.
Though this Lincoln not having the high, reedy voice, but we'll forgive that.
He was otherwise a pretty good Lincoln.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My favorite Lincoln.
Though I hope he tried to explain to Bill and Ted how 4 score and 7 minutes ago would not make sense in that context. But they told him to do it anyway. I'm hoping that's what happened.
Why not? I thought 4 score was a number.
Yeah, 4 score and 7 years ago is like 47 years.
Yeah, but it could have been 4 score and 7 minutes. So it could have been a several minutes.
47 minutes?
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's any way that...
Look, it's a good... Look, it's funny and I still remember it, so there.
I was just hoping he tried to go, wait, but that doesn't work, and they told him, no, you have to say it this way.
Can we talk about the not the skeleton in the closet, what am I thinking of?
Elephant in the room?
The elephant in the room.
Okay, which one?
The homophobia.
Yeah, that's what I was... That's the thing I remembered that I didn't like.
I mean, if it was made today, it would be omitted, right?
Yeah, but on the other hand, we'd actually see them smoking pot.
Yeah.
Which clearly do so much of.
So much. I don't think they sobered up until, like, the fucking end.
That's how they were able to figure out the time travel. They went,
shit, this is actually Ted, I think this is actually happening.
Shit.
I think... At the beginning, they were baked enough to let it happen. And at the end, they were sober enough to figure out how to actually use it.
The problem for me is that I really want to be able to share this film and my love of this film a lot more than I'm able to. Because I really, really have a huge problem with them using homophobic slurs at each other every time they show any sort of emotional vulnerability.
Mm. At one point they hugged and I was like, yay, hugging! And then there was a slur.
And it's like, and in the sequel, the slur happens as well, but it's evil robot thems. So it's less bad. But it's a downer in an otherwise pretty fucking perfect movie. I said it.
Yeah. That being said, I think if you kind of take it with the huge frickin' grain of salt that yeah, this is totally not, wasn't kosher then, not kosher now. Luckily, popular opinion has, you know, shifted for the better, correct?
Yeah.
At least in film.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
Like, I'm hoping that if it were made today, the guiding principle of be excellent to each other would extend to fit a larger group of each other.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay.
Guys, do we have more to say on this?
Not really. I think we should do our, what we would, change.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we're not just talking about how great this movie is.
Well, I can get us rolling if you want, because I have a couple.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
no,
okay,
you only do one. You're only allowed one, because the rest of us have to go too.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what I feel needed to happen more in this movie was I felt like the travel to the past was great and all. I just felt like it took up a little bit too much time in the movie where the fun and games hijinks were like some of the most memorable parts of the movie. So the historical figures in the modern time, I think we could have had, you know, 15, 20 more minutes of what kind of trouble can these characters get into even outside of the mall. What happens? I wanna experience that, because part of the idea with this history presentation is not only the history of these characters or whatever, it's also how they react to our modern age. Now, the mall's a great snapshot of that, especially for the late 80s, but you know what? I think we could delve more into that. Take Lincoln or whatever and see how modern politics plays out in his eyes and all that. that's what I think could be interesting. More hijinks at the mall. Or not even at the mall, rather.
Just hijinks. Yeah, where does Napoleon fit into that? Because technically, he is doing that. He's experiencing much more.
Yeah, but Iggy. He's just a huge asshole.
Iggy Piggy. Iggy
Piggy.
Ziggy Piggy. Eat the pig. Oh. Eat the pig. Ziggy, 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 zig. And that's fun. But I figure if you have an ensemble of historical figures, use that, you know?
Fair enough. The problem for me with Bill and Ted is there's very little I would change just because I think it's a perfect little snowflake the way it is.
Yeah, that's the trick, is trying to find little things I'd change and improve on.
Maybe cut the prehistoric bit to give them more time.
Yeah.
In the mall, at least.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, the malfunctioning time machine didn't really lead to anything either,
no,
right?
No, not true. It led to them going to the future, which is my favorite scene. And I will refuse to let it be removed.
They could have done a misdial.
Yeah.
True.
And it's the first time all of them are really working together. Chewing that gum.
Oh, that was pretty cool watching them chew. Like, I just remember Abraham Lincoln holding his lapels, chewing this massive fucking wad of bubble gum. And then the grossness of them just passing it all along, and some of them caring and some of them not.
I love how Ted put the wad, the huge wad, right up to his mouth to put his gum on.
Yeah.
The rest at least put it on, and it's called Ted.
Such Never sweet. Change, Ted. Never change.
I love him. I love them both, man.
Aw.
So yeah, aside from tightening up the scenes in the past, I'd just expand the time of the movie a little bit. Or make it in 2018. We can have 2 hour movies instead of 90 minutes.
Hell
you
true.
Do it.
This is a short movie.
It is a short movie. It's short and sweet.
Yes.
I'm gonna go with my change, which is actually bouncing off of yours. I just don't like Napoleon.
Really?
I get the Waterloo gag. I am into Napoleon, but I don't like the way they presented him. I feel like it's very, the way, English propaganda post-war. I have a lot of feelings about Napoleon, actually. But also, like, the Waterloo gag is pretty great, but it goes on for a really long time.
And he's pushing kids.
We see him at the ice cream parlor, which is great, because that's when Deacon and the girls ditch him, which is, that's funny. I like that. But, and the French, the fake French accents that you could sort of get with the Ziggy Piggy is pretty funny, too. But then you also see him bowling and cheating at his scores. You also see, and it's like, I feel like that went on way too long with a character that I'm not particularly invested in.
Yeah.
I see why they needed to have a sort of secondary, oh shit, something's happening. Like, we have to pick him up. Where is he? We don't know where he is. Plot reasons need to happen. However, there's no additional benefit to Napoleon having done all this extra stuff. You know, like, we see that he's decided to go attack Waterloo because he went to Waterloo Park, but we don't see that he's decided to bowl or you know, eat more ice cream.
Or make a water park in Paris.
Like, there's none of that. It's
Well, in this utopia future now, there's going to be nonstop water slides in Paris.
So
it's going to be fantastic.
So true. The only time I really, really liked him was when we first get him, first see him on the field, and during the history presentation where we see him being like a general and describing his plan.
Strategy?
Yeah. You know, and we see him being like a powerful figure who gets pissed off because somebody's doubting his plan. I'm like, okay, it's fine. I don't know what I replace it with though. Maybe Brendan's, shenanigans? Maybe I'd bring more Rufus.
More shenanigans. Mm.
Rufus!
Well, here is the thing that the Napoleon scenes do serve, in a way, I think, is that they represent the passage of time in normal San Dimas, you know, non-time stream San Dimas.
That's a very good point.
So it's like time is progressing.
I mean, maybe I'd like it more if it was just not an asshole.
Yeah.
I just wasn't into watching him.
Someone else to be the fish out of water.
This is perhaps a question showing my age, but were French people particularly funny to make fun of in the 80s?
Probably.
I mean, maybe there's a level of humor that I'm not getting.
The French have been fair game in Hollywood since 1940.
Oh, not 1940, surely, remember? We had Casablanca. But anyway, I don't know. I feel like there's maybe a dimension that I'm missing. as to why this was a good idea for it to go longer. But I don't know. I'd have to read some contemporaneous reviews. Did anybody give a shit about Bill and Ted when it came out?
I think it got a cult following, if I remember right.
Ah, yes.
Sounds about right.
I mean, they got a sequel.
This came out when I was 5, so...
Speaking of, when this episode comes out, happy birthday, guys!
Oh, yeah, shit.
Wow, happy birthday, Alex.
Yeah, happy birthday, Pip. Thank you, guys.
Yay!
Anyway.
Okay, yep. Where are we at? Where are we at? Pip or Al?
I'll go.
Yeah, go.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm actually going to have Bill and Ted fall up on their rescuing the princesses. Because you know who ends up doing
it?
Son
of a bitch!
Ha-ha! Because you know who ends up doing it? Rufus does it off-screen for them.
Yep. And more to the point, does it as a reward princess rather than, you know, any kind of action-adventure payoff.
You succeeded in your quest. Here, have a woman.
Yeah.
Kind of awkward.
Kinda.
I'm using understatement.
Yeah.
It's super effective.
I gave them credit cards. Now let's have a kind of misogynistic line about shopping.
Yay. Other things that we change for the modern interpretation. Go on.
Have them go back in time to rescue the princesses, and then have them completely be fucking failures at it. Because, you know, there are a couple of stone owners from California. Do they know swords?
That's when they go back to the future and pick up guns.
Oh, no.
No.
No, that's not excellent.
No. Also, I'm fairly certain that Bill is the type of person to cry the first time he shoots a gun.
Oh, my God.
He totally is.
Also making the princesses more full characters, you know, having them help themselves in their own rescue. Because their options are now, okay, marry these old guys that we don't know, or these pretty boys who are probably magic.
And that was actually one of my other notes, Al. Could have had adventure princesses instead of reward princesses, so good job.
Yay. Anything to add?
No. I like that. I was having a similar thought as well. It's just,
yeah,
give the princesses more to do, even that first movie, because they return in the second movie as,
yeah, they do,
major characters.
Yeah. Well, certainly with more agency.
Yeah. Hey, they become part of the band.
Yeah.
They become part of the band, and also they don't have to be treated rotten, even if they believe that the people who are treating them rotten are their true Time Lord loves, as opposed to what they actually are, which is evil robot usses.
Let's save that for the eventual Bogus Journey episode.
I really want to do the Bogus Journey episode. Just FYI. Because I just really want to say Station all the time. I want my introduction to be Station.
Yeah, that's me. Pip, I took your thing this time.
Yep, yep, you did.
Ha-ha.
The moment you said you were going first, I was like, oh, shit. Okay, here's what I'm thinking. What if the historical figures who get kidnapped just sort of go along with it? They have the hijinks in the mall. But what if, you know, if we cut out some of the earlier time traveling bits to get more time in Bill and Ted's present, we could really have them actually, we can see more of them bonding as a group and maybe get more of them in the development of the historical presentation, maybe them helping out with the rescue. You know, they're in the police station and Abe Lincoln says he's a lawyer. What if we see him lawyering?
Ooh. Mm. Being competent in their own fields? What?
Right? We can have Napoleon doing some strategizing.
Tactics.
Yeah, tactics. And Genghis Khan arguing with him and Joan of Arc arguing with them. Because there are some bunch of tacticians involved.
Yep. Speaking of, just a side note, I do not appreciate how Genghis Khan was shown as a meathead. I didn't appreciate the meathead thing. This was a dude who conquered most of Asia.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's an idiot.
Yeah. There's a difference between ruthlessness and being...
An extended caveman joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also really awkward because he was kind of the only person of color.
Yeah. Womp womp.
Dun dun.
In the entire movie.
No, the history teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Also the leader of the people in the future.
Oh, fair point. So in the future, we're more diverse. That's nice.
Yay.
They were self-aware.
Aww.
Also, speaking about future tech, do you think the time machine had a universal translator built into it or something eventually.
I figure, yeah, that's what the TARDIS has. Same thing.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't able to understand any of them, except for, like, Billy.
Yeah, but eventually they were able to make a dialogue at the historical presentation, so maybe they got a translation circuit activated. I don't know.
No.
It just kind of occurred to me.
No, because he still had to translate for Socrates, and with gestures.
Well, yeah, but not everybody did. Like, Billy seemed to be pretty on top of what Socrates was saying. It was really just Bill and Ted who had... So maybe he was just like, I'm just not going to even try with these guys. Okay, I'm holding up two fingers. It's two words.
Or maybe... Oh, and who knows? Maybe Billy the Kid, you know, is ancient Greek. Listen.
Or maybe, if these are people from an alternate dimension, I'm still going with my these are alternate figures of history theory, then maybe they were all picked up from alternate dimensions where everybody just spoke a variant of English. All things are possible.
I'm still going to go with translation circuit in the time machine, and Bill and Ted never figured it out.
But yeah, my point is, having them all work together to solve problems and have hijinks that highlight their talents.
So basically, it's kind of like what I was asking for, like an extended hijink scene, but with more focus?
Yeah, because I want to see them problem solving together.
You want to see them as a cohesive unit.
Yes, I want to see Socrates.
Yeah, say it right, man. Say it right.
They're going to get so mad at us. Because no matter what, we're also probably still just pronouncing it wrong in general. Because none of us speak Greek.
I just really want to see how Ashley transcribes us deliberately missaying all these names. Socrates and Beef Oven.
Sorry, Ashley.
Sorry, Ashley.
I want to see Socrates just being down for whatever the fuck they've got planned.
I love that.
I mean, he is the philosopher.
He was living that hashtag YOLO life. They were escaping from England from getting beheading. He didn't speak the fucking language, but he was there with an axe driving the getaway car.
He is down to caper.
I think this is why he got on so well with Billy the Kid. Billy was the one who was most on top of the sort of slacker, not slacker lifestyle, but he was the youngest, theoretically, of everybody. So he connected with Bill and Ted on that level. And then he and Socrates connected because they were both like, well, shit, this is happening now. Fuck it, let's go.
You know, I'm imagining in this alternate timeline that Billy the Kid goes back to his time and starts picking up philosophy books.
Aww. Can he read?
Yeah, sure.
Do you remember when he pulled out his own wanted poster and said, hey, ladies?
I love how he had it on him.
Of course he fucking did. Oh my god. Can we all just take a moment, by the way, to remember... I'm just suddenly remembering that Bill and Ted had a very 80s iconography for their wild stallions.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like when you're in school and you do that, like, really, like, interwoven S doodle. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody did
that.
Yeah,
everybody does that. And they had, like, a version of that, but, like... a stallion. It was so, like, that's a high school student. I appreciated that.
And they're the foundation of our utopia future.
Woo!
Yeah!
With the good music. Oh, I can't get over
okay, me. Music.
Oh my god, I will take you outside. I'm sorry, do you not get, like, shivers from...
Take it outside.
Do you not-
take it outside.
Do you not get shivers from the opening song?
That's fun.
All my life I wanted to fly like a bird.
Anyway, back on topic.
This movie doesn't have the awesome song from the second movie, so therefore it is inferior.
Oh, that's a good point.
Ooh.
But the awesome song from the second movie is what leads to world peace. It's a direct causer of world peace. So no.
My point stands.
Wow.
Except something went wrong if there's gonna be a third.
Actually, apparently the third one's called, at least the working title that I've heard, is Bill and Ted Face the Music, which I think is pretty great. Like, several years have passed, decades, one might even say. I appreciate that, you know, it's changed, but still manages to get a cool pun in there. All right, so has everybody done their variants?
I've done mine.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.
Cool. Well, folks, I think around this time we generally do a game.
Ooh, what are we doing this time?
Because this is a movie that we generally like, do we want to do our fallback for ones we like where we try to make it worse?
Ooh, actually, yeah.
Ooh.
That sounds like Alex has an idea.
Oh, no, I don't have an idea. I just
want to do it.
It would be fun.
Yeah.
Does anybody remember the name of this game?
It's called Explode All the Things.
Explain it, Pippin.
It's where you take a good plot, or a good thing from a bad plot, to be fair, and make it worse.
As you may, as listening audience may recall, we did this with, was it Dawn of the Dead?
Night of the Living Dead.
I'm sorry, Night of the Living Dead. And we've done it with one other thing.
Yeah, but I don't remember what.
It was a movie we liked.
Dallas, listeners, and you can get a prize. You won't get a prize, but you'll get a respect.
Well,
plus one respect.
You may or may not get acknowledgement.
We'll think about you for a moment and, you know.
Yeah.
We'll sit there and go, oh, yeah, and move on.
We'll text each other and be like, hey, guess what? Somebody remembered it. Cool.
Anyway.
Okay, so who wants to go first with exploding this plot?
Explode this story. Explode this movie. Okay, I'm going to do a classic. I'm going to add a dog.
Okay.
Okay.
It sounds like you just made this movie better. What are you doing?
No, because there's no good reason to have a fucking dog. I say that they...
Balto.
Listen.
Wow. Mic drop.
This is an 80s movie. Dogs were awesome in 80s movies.
No,
dogs are awesome now.
Oh my god! Sometimes this movie didn't need a fucking dog.
Wait. If you add a dog to Bill and Ted, then this movie becomes a prequel to John Wick.
Oh, Keanu Reeves could never have a dog. That's the subtitle. On the poster.
Unrelated. Did you guys see that image online of the Thanos snap happening? Cut to John Wick's dog turning to ash. Oh, cut back to Thanos saying, oh shit.
Yeah.
I would watch that. I would read that. I would give it all my money. I rescind my previous let's add a dog to this. Clearly, in our current timeline, where John Wick exists, Thanos exists, everything, where all of this exists, Bill and Ted the movie having a dog in it would be fucking amazing. I rescind. Somebody else go first so I can think of another one.
Okay.
If you thought of something, go ahead.
So, Bren, I'm sorry, but I'm going to add that thing you suggested. I'm going to take that. I'm going to add guns.
Oh. Bill and Ted have your pack of heat.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so uncomfortable.
Right? Because they're so gentle.
Well, just imagining them like, oh, that's got a weird feeling.
Exactly. That's why we're exploding it, Kat.
Yep. And them shooting people when they should be excellent to each other.
Oh.
Sounds like a butterfly effect thing, though.
Yeah, they'll end up grandfather paradoxing everybody.
Oh, no. Grandfather paradoxing Rufus.
Oh, no. But then they don't get the time machine. And then and they're stuck like in the past. But then
and
the...
And this was the first loop.
Oh, no.
Womp, womp, womp.
So, yeah.
Ugh.
And it becomes super gritty and serious, but there's still... But still a fucking telephone booth, so it looks... So it just comes off as cheesy.
Okay.
Pip.
I was thinking, what if we add a jock?
Oh.
Actually, we do see a couple of jocks presenting.
We see a jock at the end.
Yeah, the presenting.
Yeah, because San Dimas High School football rules.
Yeah.
What if he was a main character?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or active antagonist.
Like,
oof.
Who would bully Bill and Ted?
What if he went on a special journey and learned to be kind because he was with them on this... Barf.
But it would still be...
And because it's the 80s, which weren't super great at bullying...
Oh, God. Ew, what if we had on-screen bullying? Which was also a big thing that the 80s did.
Uncomfortable.
Good explosion, Pippa.
Very good explosion.
Yeah.
I love how I don't even have to explain that much. I just said it and we all knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kat, you got one, or?
No, I want to hear yours.
Oh, okay. The more serious one, they don't pass the history oral exam. The teacher thinks they, you know, cheated.
Oh.
And the future refused to change.
Oh.
Aww.
I got that reference.
Thank you, Alex.
You've seen this play enough time. You should.
Chrono Trigger?
There you go.
There, we're good.
Yay!
Yeah. Yeah, so basically the teacher's convinced that they hired a bunch of actors, they didn't do any of the work, and still fails them.
Aww.
That's the one explosion there. Mm-hmm. And then, like, Rufus just shakes his head off the side of the screen. He's like, I thought this would work.
And disappears.
Yeah, oh. Just turns to ash.
Oh, no.
I don't feel good, dudes.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to go. I don't want to go.
Not like this.
Oh. And the more goofy explosion, removing Socrates.
Oh,
don't do this. Don't do this to Billy.
Exactly. But we're talking about exploding it. But if you don't have Socrates, like, you lose a lot of the innocent heart of the, at least the historical figures, right?
You do. That's true. Also, a man running around in a toga is just natural comedy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I feel like without Socrates, Billy goes a bit more off the rails.
Yeah, he does.
And actually, he shoots someone. But yeah, someone does have a gun.
Oh.
Billy has a gun.
But you know what?
And actually, they do end up in a shootout, but you know what they never do? They never shoot anyone back. They just hide and kidnap Billy.
Billy shooting stuff is different. He's Billy the Kid.
Well, he showboats when he shoots.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so those are the two ones I had. One serious, one kind of goofy.
Okay, I've got one, maybe two. We'll find out.
All right.
We'll see how it goes. Okay, one, you could take time travel out entirely. What if they did fucking just go and hire actors? What if that was their entire plan? What if they don't go to the past? What if they're just a couple of slackers who come up with a dumb plan? What if we just completely remove that?
Oh.
Remove time travel.
Oh.
So Rufus shows up and is like, here's your local library card.
There's no Rufus. He's from the future. This is just a movie about slackers trying to pass a test. There's no reason for them to have a fucking band. There's no reason for any of this. They're just trying, and it's just like a '80s
wacky hijinks
high school movie.
What if that was the first draft?
That also reeks of the future slacker movie. Is where
the slackers had it in them all along.
They only have a surface level emotional growth and change nothing else about their essential character and still accomplish their goals.
I hate to say it, there'd be a lot more homophobia jokes.
I was thinking that version, there's a lot more staring at Missy.
Ooh.
Ew. Yep, because that's the kind of ribald sexual high school humor.
That's your mom, dude.
And there'd be interviewing people, and they'd do the obvious thing of the people they hire being nothing like the historical figures.
Mm-hmm. You know, I will say, if you were nuanced enough with writing it, I think you could pull it off, though.
I mean, yeah, but would it be this movie? Would it have this kind of charming innocence? Would it be this sort of, I'm going to say it, hope punk?
Yeah.
I mean, would it have that? Or would it just be another fucking 80s movie?
It'd be like a movie that would be starring like Ryan Reynolds circa 2000.
I was thinking more like the B level of Rat Pack.
Okay.
See, that's the problem. That's why I had to have more than one. Like, yeah, if you take out time travel, it becomes a completely fucking different movie. The other way to make it worse is add a sex scene between Bill and Ted and the babes.
Yeah.
There you go. They show up the night before that. Because remember, there's a night between when Bill and Ted get captured, and then they're going to be like, have their heads cut off the next dawn or something like that.
Mm.
I don't know. Sure.
That's
why not?
Quick.
Now there is. I've decided. And so what better but then to have the princesses go down, try to rescue them. So instead they have tender sexy times through the bars of their cells, which we also see. Yep. I'm just saying, imagine them kissing.
I don't want to.
But, like, not, like, the pecks that we see them give, but, like, tongue kissing.
Just
think about that one.
Oh, okay. Well, because now I'm trying to work out now I'm trying to work out the logistics, and I don't want to do that. Because you said through the bars. I'm like, how does that even fucking work?
Depends on what they're doing.
Magic. Movie magic.
Magic.
Careful lighting choices.
Okay. Any other explodey ideas, gang?
I think we thoroughly ruined it.
Yay.
Do we have anything else about Bill and Ted, then? As a concept, as a movie?
I just really like Bill and Ted.
I mean, I think we all agree that we liked the movie, of course.
Oh, I kind of, having very little to do with this, I kind of wish we had some sort of indication of what Ted had packed in his backpack beforehand.
Oh, yeah, like an inventory, so we can kind of...
Even if it's just a quick seeing him packing the bag, because I remember him giving everyone a thing of pudding and going, how long have you fucking had that?
Maybe he just carries pudding with him. You don't know.
Enough for, like, 10 historical people?
Or one stoner. All right, so are we all done then, guys?
Yeah.
No, I don't really have final thoughts, except I love this movie.
Okay.
Well, all right, then.
Cool.
All right. As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostoryissacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at nostoryissacred, or send us an email through contact@nostoryissacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex McDonald, Brendan McDonald, Pippin McDonald, and Catherine Crichton. Editing for this episode was done by Brendan. Transcript done by Ashley DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcript are available at nostoryissacred.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and please rate, review, and subscribe to No Story is Sacred. You can also visit our Patreon page to support the show and get neat rewards at patreon.com/nostoryissacred. See you next time when we talk about Gravity Falls, specifically the episode The Time Traveler's Pig.
Oink, oink.
Because, among other things, this is a show that features twins, and it happens to be a set of twins' birthday right around the time between episodes. Isn't that right, Pippin Al?
Yeah, it's Luke and Leia's birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Star Wars twins. Yep.
Yup.
So until then, where no story is sacred, and any story can be changed. This was Brendan.
This was Pippin.
This was Alex.
And this was Kat.
And we're
No Story is Sacred.